Storytelling time is on the air. Would you like to hear some good news for a change? Join Dr. William Porter as he tells stories about extraordinary experiences that people sometimes have in their lives. And now, Dr. William Porter.
Good morning. Welcome to Storytelling Time. My name is William Porter. Let's get started with a prayer. Dear God, thank you for allowing us to come into your presence today. Give us the strength to do what we're supposed to do for the advancement of our lives and of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. The word of inspiration for today is the following quotation. Your talent is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God. From Leo Bescalia, who was an American author and motivational speaker. The title of today's story is Mind Your Business, which comes from chapter 11 in the book Heaven Can't Wait. If you recall, the last time we discussed Maggie and her quest to find happiness, Fred surprised her when they returned to college for their senior year. He said that he was graduating early and that he would take a job in Hawaii, a place known as a paradise in the Pacific. Maggie was devastated and was left to deal with her own feelings. Mincy, Maggie's mother, really desired for her daughter to be with John Jr., the son of the pastor of Mark Methodist Church, the family's home church. The desire of Mincy for her daughter to be with John Jr. became a reality because Maggie ended up marrying him. When Maggie told Fred about her actions, he was devastated. Both Maggie and Fred were emotionally tied to one another. They loved each other a lot, and they both were devastated at each other's actions. Maggie was devastated because Fred left her for Hawaii, and Fred was devastated because Maggie left him for someone else, her childhood friend, John Jr. Meanwhile, John Jr. became pastor of Faith Methodist Church in Detroit. Now, Maggie was wife to the Reverend John James Jr., the popular pastor of a large church in this Midwestern city. After some months of marriage, one day Maggie had come home from the law office where she worked. She waited and waited and waited for John Jr. to return home from the church office. It seemed like he would never come home. Well, deep down inside, she kind of wished he wouldn't. All she could think about was that someone else. But make no mistake, she loved John and grew to love him more later on. But at the time, her mother wanted her to be with him more than she wanted to be with him. Anyway, it wasn't until later that night when John did finally return home. During the whole time, before John came home that night, Maggie sat in her comfy chair and started remembering about the past, especially her time after college. Sometimes she would think about Fred because he still was the love of her life. But the fact of the matter was that he wasn't there. He was in Hawaii. While Fred was away, Maggie began to see more of John Jr., also known as simply John. She ended up marrying John, a rather tall, slender fellow who had been groomed to be a minister since his childhood. He was eloquent, articulate, and had received a top-notch education from one of the finest schools in the country, Harvard Divinity. Beyond that, his striking good looks would be a temptation for any woman. As Maggie continued to have her thoughts of the past, she saw herself as graduating from college. After graduation, her pastor at the time, the Reverend John Sr., helped her to get a job at a law office in Detroit. Maggie also accepted an offer from her pastor to be an administrative assistant at the church. When not at her job at the law office in Detroit during the week, or when serving in her position at the church on the weekends, Maggie continued to communicate with Fred, but less frequently as the months went by. At the same time, her mother began to make extra efforts to connect her daughter with the exciting new minister. her pastor's son, John Jr. Messy did all she could to influence Maggie to develop a serious relationship with John. Deep down, Maggie knew that her mother didn't approve of her relationship with Fred. She believed that he wasn't ambitious enough. But John, the pastor's son, was just the opposite in her mother's eyes. He was a talkative and confident person who always went after what he wanted, and most of the time he got it. Most importantly to her mother, John was a part of a prominent family in town. After all, his father was the pastor of a large church, and he was the main reason her daughter became employed with one of the top law firms in Detroit. John was a fiery young minister who normally preached at his father's church. He stimulated a lot of enthusiasm among parishioners with many shouts of Amen and Praise the Lord. When John brought the message, everyone loved his passionate delivery, which personified the very intensity and determination of communicating and preaching the gospel message in a style that his father lacked. And the congregation responded to his efforts. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Maggie had taken a short nap, and when she woke up, she started to daydream again about her time with John before they were married. She remembered they agreed to attend a church play together on a Friday evening at a theater in downtown Flint. Missy was happy that John and Maggie had connected and would be going out on a date. After spending a nice evening out, John brought Maggie back to her parents' house. After a good night's sleep, Maggie remembered that the next morning her mother gave her a gentle tug on the foot and said, "Wake up, baby. I know you want to rest, but I have a nice breakfast for you. Come on now, get up." Maggie still remembered how she got up that morning from her bed at her parents' house and ate breakfast with her parents and siblings. "Well, how was last night, Maggie?" she remembered her mother asking her. Before Maggie could utter a response, she remembered her mother suddenly added, "I know you enjoyed his company. He's such a nice fellow, and boy, can he preach," referring to John. "Yeah, Mom, we had a nice time," Maggie responded. "But I must confess, most of the evening I dreamed of being with Fred," she remembered telling her mother. "Fred?" her mother responded in the form of a question. "But he's in Hawaii. You need to forget about him. He can't do anything for you there," she continued. Well, Maggie was not about to do that. She smiled and looked away from her mother and silently uttered, making sure her mother did not hear her, "Mind your business, Mom." As Maggie remembered uttering these words, she decided to finally stop her focus on the past and to think more about the present, a present that did not include her husband John, because he had not yet come home from the office. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Maggie continued to drift between napping and being awake while waiting for her husband to come home. While now wide awake, she thought that the feelings she had for Fred were too strong for her not to miss him after he first left for Hawaii. Since he'd been away, she prayed every day that God would help to keep her strong. Back at the law office, the persistence of a coworker got more and more of her attention. Her coworker, one might ask? Yes, it was that someone else that was mentioned earlier. Yes, a coworker of hers, whose name was Freddie. He was a handsome fellow, and Maggie was immediately attracted to him, and he was always very nice to her. He kept asking her to come by his house in a town named Knightdale, just outside of Detroit, but she had always resisted. She kept telling herself, "I don't want to do wrong," and resisted the temptation to see him. Would Maggie succeed in holding off the advances of Freddie? Maggie really didn't want to do wrong, because she continued to remain emotionally committed to Fred. But his being so far away did not address the longing she had to be close to someone, physically. At one point, she even reasoned that Fred may be seeing someone else in Hawaii anyway. In the case of Freddie, he reminded her so much of the love of her life, who was Fred. As Maggie continued to daydream, even as the hour grew late, her feelings were personified by a song that she heard on the radio one day on her way home from work. Maggie was less interested in seeing John than her mother was in her seeing him. To be sure, Maggie's focus was on neither Fred nor John at the time. It was on that coworker. One day while driving home from work, she remembered she just relaxed as she drove, listening to one song after another, and paying special attention to a particular song to its completion. A song that spoke so clear to her, it spoke to the challenge she had in remaining true to Fred.
Don't wanna do wrong, but you've been gone away so long, and I hope you'll understand that it's real, it's real. Oh, yes, it's out of my hands. But I don't wanna do wrong. I don't wanna do wrong.
But it's been so long.
Oh, it's been so long.
I just can't help myself.
No,
no, no, no.
Since you've been away.
Since you've been away.
I've been praying every day.
I've been praying every day.
For God to make me strong.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. Welcome back. Among the many songs that Maggie heard on her car radio that day, this one spoke to what was going on with her love life at the time, she remembered. But enough of her thinking about the past, she had a growing concern about the present. As she sat in her comfy chair, she wondered when would her husband, John, come home. Our special story scripture today comes from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. These verses of scripture state, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Maggie found consolation in verses of scripture like these. She certainly needed to have access to His grace because of her many imperfections, she felt. The good news is that it is this kind of grace that is merciful despite our infirmities and shortcomings. Maggie could have been depressed about her situation, but with her knowledge of verses of scripture like these, she was able to utter a big smile as she continued her drive home. Our virtual song of the week is coming next. Well, we'll see you the next time. And remember, there's always more good things coming your way.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day. There is no sunshine, nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day, but where are my blue skies? Where is the love and the joy that you promised me? Tell me it's alright.
I'll be honest with you,
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain shower.
When I think how much better I'm gonna be when this is over,
I smile. Even though I hurt, see, I smile. I know God is working, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while,
what you do?
I smile.
Come on,
smile. It's so hard to look up when you've been down. Sure would hate to see you give up now.
God's people. Still don't mean today don't have purpose. Come on!
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night.
It ain't easy, bud.
Today's a new day, but tell me, where are my blue skies?
Where is that love, y'all?
Where is the love and the joy that you promised me? Tell me it's alright.
The truth is,
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain.
That Holy Ghost power, y'all.
Fell from heaven like a shower now.
Now I know we've been hurt, y'all, but still,
I smile.
Come on.
Even though I hurt, see, I smile.
And y'all feel that?
I know God is working, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while,
still,
I smile.
Hallelujah. Whatever you're in right now,
smile for me.
Smile.
Can you just smile for me?
And my people say,
oh, 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 you look so much better when you're, oh, 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 you look so much better when you're, oh, 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 you look so much better when you're, oh, oh, oh,
I say,
you look so much better when you're, oh, oh, oh.
And while you're waiting,
you look so much better.
Yeah, and while you're praying,
you look so much better when you're,
look in the mirror,
you look so much better when you're,
always remember,
you look so much better when you smile.
Come on.
I almost gave up,
I almost
a power
gave up,
that I can't explain.
But that Holy Ghost power, y'all,
fell from heaven, like
came down from heaven,
down.
Hardships, difficulties,
right now,
tears, storms, this is what I do.
I'm
that feels good.
I know God is working, so I smile.
All things are working,
even though I'm in it for a while.
Still,
I smile, smile.
Hallelujah.
So hard to look up when you've been down.
I know it's hard right now.
Sure would hate to see you give up now.
Because you're a winner.
You look so much better when you smile.
You look better.
So smile.
You to be happy, but then you gotta have something happen. I want you to have joy, cause can't nobody take that from you. I see you smiling.